All right, so yesterday, well, anyway, this is what we do to get you primed for the weekend. It's called Friday Fun.
Yes.
So yesterday, late in the program, and I tweeted this out, if you'd like to follow along at home. I want to say it may be the last thing I put out there, but I can't remember. It was an article that a P1 sent me from 1985. I believe the date would have been November of 85. And it was from the Abilene Reporter Courier somewhere.
News.
Yes.
Come on, man. Get it right.
Sorry, bro. And it involved one Dan Bayless. Not only Dan Bayless, but childhood Dan Bayless. He was a 17-year-old. And the reason we knew he was 17 is because, well, it's the first line in the article. Danny was so upset over what went down in the newspaper that he had read concerning an album that was near and dear to his heart, the Iron Maiden Live After Death album,
that's right.
He had to write in to voice his displeasure with the author of the time, Michael Ditmore is his name. So Danny fired off a letter, sealed it, mailed it off, and it was published pretty quickly after the article was written. So we read that on the air late in the show yesterday, and we said, and we'll do it again here in a minute. You don't have to get online or anything like that.
Kind of a perfect letter, if you want to ask me.
It really is. And we thought, man, it'd be really cool if we had the original article that Danny was so upset by.
It's an album review.
Yes, the album review. Yeah. And sure enough, multiple people that are better at the internet than me, they found it. And matter of fact, the guy that originally sent this to me, he found it too and sent it over. And so,
by the way, I had no luck finding the rock and roll critic that penned that article.
Oh, yeah. I asked Danny, maybe it'd be funny if we found this guy.
Oh, we were looking for Michael Ditmore, were we?
Like, troll on social media, but apparently he's either dead or... Well, we don't know.
He probably found something he was better at than being a music critic.
Jeez, he's still mad.
You read the article? You read the review? It's horrible.
Here's the thing. This article's great. Here's the thing. I have not read it, okay? Because I knew we were going to do this, okay. And I have been... I wanted to wait. And so Bob is going to read the original article.
We can do the rest of the show on this article, by the way.
Well, okay, I'm fine with that. And then
I'm supposed to ring in when I'm offended, right? When I started hearing or reading things in this article, I'll ring in with a ding ding, and the more dings you get, the more heated my blood pressure was getting when I was reading this as a 17-year-old, right?
Yes. This is all based on the mind of a 17-year-old boy.
Okay, this might take a few segments, guys. I'm just throwing it out there right now.
All right.
Pass up Iron Maiden's Live After Death LP is the headline. Subheadline, morbid adolescent songs about death are just gross, not innovative or good copies. Live After Death, can I do the titles to the songs?
Sure. I mean,
side
as long
one.
As they're,
Side one, Churchill's Speech, Aces High.
Of course.
2 Minutes to Midnight, The Trooper, Revelations, Flight of Icarus. Side 2. Rime of the Ancient Mariner, Power Slave, The Number of the Beast.
Yes!
Side 3. Hallowed Be Thy Name, Iron Maiden, Run to the Hills, Running Free. And side 4, double album here, Danny. Wrathchild.
Yeah.
22
Acacia.
Acacia Avenue, Children of the Damned, Die with Your Boots On, and Phantom of the Opera.
This pretty much covered from the beginning through the record Power Slave, which to me, they were at their most relevant. Pretty much everything after that was not as great.
So what year are we talking with that last one?
Probably 84, 85.
Okay,
yeah.
So it just had come out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's... Let's begin with Mr. Ditmore's copy. In light of the recent congressional hoopla over explicit rock music lyrics, and San Antonio's decision to restrict sex and violence subject matter in the city's rock concerts, how could I pass up this double live album by Iron Maiden, one of the most blasphemous, most dreadful, most successful of the current heavy metal brigade? How could I pass up that artwork on the cover, set on a stormy night in a graveyard near a major city, with lightning smashing tall buildings and the Grim Reaper striding through the clouds, and there in front is some yellow, furious, emaciated, skeletal, cat-like creature with lightning in his eyes coming out of his grave and bursting his manacles, and a black cat with a halo and a snake of a cross and a gravestone that reads Freedom of Rock, R.I.P. Heavy symbols, huh? Heavy metal has never been known for its subtlety. I mean, how could I pass all that up? Well, maybe I should have. Live After Death is taken from Iron Maiden's 1984-85 World Slavery Tour, nifty name, huh? Which took the group through Poland, Hungary, Yugoslavia, Italy, France, Spain, Portugal, Germany, Holland, France, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Switzerland, Great Britain, and the U.S., 26 countries in all, in 11 months. This is one of those live albums that is less committed to selling the music, to use a term loosely, than to selling the band. Including with the album is an 8-page color tour booklet containing 200 exclusive photographs that goes on to catalog everyone involved in the show, down to the bus drivers, all the instruments down to the guitar picks, including a daily itinerary, and proudly proclaims that the PA system delivers 152,000 watts of total power, etc. From the photographs, one gets the impression that the show itself is just plain colossal, centering around Eddie, a 12-foot-tall heavy metal monster, straight out of a late show horror flick, surrounded by giant mysterious Egyptian imagery, flash bombs, and state-of-the-art lights. And oh yeah, there's a couple of albums in there too. All in all, Iron Maiden and their management, Rod Smallwood and Andy Taylor, play it very smart. The effect of all this promotion is obvious overkill, and considering the incredible expense involving in putting on a show of this size, it's likely that someone is going to wake up one day and wonder where all the money went.
Trust me, they're all doing fine.
But you never quite know it, because in spite of all of the heavy-handedness, they stay just this side of overdoing it. As for the music, well, I've never heard Iron Maiden before, and probably
ding, ding, ding.
Wait a minute. He had never listened to the band before listening to this live album.
Therein lies my main issue. This was his maiden voyage, no pun intended, into this band's discography. And he picks a double live album, which usually don't sound that great, but this one does sound really good for a live record. And he had no context. He opens this up and has no idea what he's even looking at and is trying to make sense of it all. And then he goes on to probably listen to this thing one time and review it. This guy was the wrong dude for the job.
I said this guy was probably 25 years old. This guy may have been like 50 at the time. We don't know.
You think they had a lot of people in the musical review office to possibly hand this to, though?
You know what's funny, though? The Reporter News back then, I mean, newspapers weren't doing poorly in the mid-80s, and that was a pretty decent newspaper for the for a town that had 80,000 people in it. It was pretty big.
Well, let's get back. As for the music, well, I've never heard Iron Maiden before and probably wouldn't much care now except for all this inane fuss over lyrical content.
So this guy, this guy, because of Tipper Gore and her little stupid mission to censor, you know, records and recordings back then, and she was the one that got that whole dumb parental advisory thing, that whole campaign to get that sticker put on records, which, you know, in retrospect, it's probably not a bad idea, so parents can know that stuff is explicit. I'm fine with that, and it also helps us when we're on Spotify to not get the Eminem song that has all the F-bombs. So that's a good, I think that's a good thing. But look, this guy was, he was curious to hear what something really offensive was going to sound like. He was going to bash this no matter what. We knew what side of the morality fence this guy was standing on.
Did San Antonio like ban these guys?
Maybe they were trying, their local government, they were trying to like take control over what type of, you know, content their kids were seeing on a stage.
Yeah, because the Ozzy thing happened probably 3 years prior.
Yeah, early 80s.
Mm-hmm. Dude, it's amazing, though. If you don't remember being around at that time, or if you weren't around, Tipper Gore, like, literally shook up the music industry, and our parents were paying attention to her, and the amount of 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 year old kids that were like, bro, this is so stupid. They're killing us, man. They're censoring us. They can't do that. Right. Like, this was a topic of conversation at every school in America.
Yeah. And then her husband went on to smush a gopher with his car.
I forgot about that. Yeah. What'd you say, Bob?
Two Live Crew was, like, arrested on stage.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yes.
I thought we'd gotten past all this when Jim Morrison put his finger through a zipper of his pants.
We'll never get
you know, like,
past
20
it.
Years prior to that.
All right, we're never going to get through this.
Okay, go ahead.
Like most people, I would only listen to a group like Iron Maiden because they're controversial, a stance they don't mind playing to the hilt since it does happen to sell records. I can tell you that even at barely audible volumes, this record gave me a numbing headache.
It's too loud.
A buzzing in my ears.
Oh my gosh, it's so loud.
There are about two qualities to their music besides the volume. First, their songs are exclusively about death, torture, pain, degradation, war, and sacrilegion. No sex or drugs. They pay their respects to Samuel Taylor Coleridge, The Charge of the Light Brigade, and The Book of Revelation. This is purely Stephen King territory, and I think if you're going to rate rock lyrics, you might want to rate Stephen King too, and maybe Edgar Allan Poe and Coleridge, but we won't get into that. Boy, he's got some other things
why,
to say about
why bring
literature.
It up then?
Dude, this is unbelievable, because you have to remember too what Abilene. What's
this
at the center of Abilene?
Bible Belt.
Abilene Christian University.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure if that's like a sweeping, you know, the entire town is swept up in that. But the university is such a big part of that town.
This guy knows his audience. Let me put it
that
way.
Do you mind if we carry this over?
I'm okay with it.
Let's carry this over. Let's carry over.
Because we have to reread Danny's retort.
The article that set Danny off as a 17-year-old so much that he had to write to the paper. We'll finish the article and read Danny's Okay, 5:58 here on the Hardline. We are in the middle of Friday Fun, in which we are reading the article that we found yesterday from 1985 and from the Abilene Courier News Journal Sentinel, in which
Telegram.
A guy wrote an article about the Iron Maiden live album, Live After Death.
Double album, sir.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, four sides. In which he had never listened to Iron Maiden before and wrote this article, this review of the album. Danny was 17 years old, living just miles away in Knox City. This was the main newspaper that fed into his town. He got so upset by it that he penned his own editorial letter that was opinion article that was published in the paper as well a few days later. So let's finish reading what the guy had to say. What's his name? Michael Ditmore. What he had to say, and then we'll read Danny.
Okay. So if you're just joining us, I'll pick it up at where it gets particularly difficult to hear if you're a fan of Iron Maiden or, let's say, 17-year-old Danny. As for the music, well, I've never heard Iron Maiden before and probably wouldn't much care now except for all this inane fuss over lyrical content. Like most people, I would only listen to a group like Iron Maiden because they're controversial, a stance they don't mind playing to the hilt since it does happen to sell records. I can tell you that even at barely audible volumes, this record gave me a numbing headache and left a buzzing in my ears. There are about two qualities to their music besides the volume. First, Their songs are exclusively about death, torture, pain, degradation, war, and sacrilegion. No sex or drugs. They pay their respects to Samuel Taylor Coleridge, The Charge of the Light Brigade, and the Book of Revelation. This is purely Stephen King territory, and I think if you're going to rate rock lyrics, you might want to also rate Stephen King too, maybe Edgar Allan Poe and Coleridge, but we won't go into that. What bothers me personally is that there are no love songs here except for one about a prostitute.
Aww.
I wouldn't even mind some of the filthy lyrics a la Prince, but an hour and a half of doom and gloom at screeching volumes is just not a pleasant experience. And it isn't even real death they're talking about. It's just morbid adolescent fantasies. You want real death? Listen to Randy Newman's Old Man sometime if you can stand it. In other words, this is gross out city. Danny.
Dude, Danny, this, I cannot believe I thought that this guy was 25 years old. This guy is way older.
He's not way older. He's probably in his early 30s, and he's probably an ACU grad that, you know, fancied himself as some type of writer and got a job on staff at the Reporter News.
Someone in their early 30s is not going to write something that's this.
Think about early 30s. Like that would have been almost 20 years older than me. At the time.
Early 30s, but he looks like Sparky Anderson.
Right.
The other thing is that they never look to the past for ideas. They never explore other options than trying to make their sound louder or their image heavier. There's just that same dull, rhythmic thump and grind. That criticism stems from my memories of Led Zeppelin, the granddaddy of all heavy metal groups. One of the most impressive things about the Zep was the way they borrowed from other musical traditions, from American folk, country, blues, and even Middle Eastern music. And even the Sex Pistols remade Chuck Berry, The Who, and The Monkees. Iron Maiden has a song here, Hallowed Be Thy Name, about a poor guy about to be hanged. Led Zeppelin's remake of Leadbelly's Gallows Pole on the same subject was a far more original idea. Johnny Cash's
I'm
One
sorry,
More
time Minute. Out. Ding, 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 ding. So you're saying that covering somebody's song is an original idea?
Right.
Way to contradict yourself, Ditmore.
Yeah.
What a douchebag.
Johnny Cash's One More Minute to Go that he sang to the convicts at San Quentin cut a lot deeper and harder, and alongside Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska, this is plain wimpy. And they're not really any fun either. If they were any fun,
they'd
make Dr. Demento's playlist.
Oh no, he mentioned Dr. Demento.
I didn't even know what that was.
Yeah,
the
you
real
did.
Sound.
You weren't aware of
fish heads. I knew fish heads, but I knew it as a Saturday Night Live thing.
Okay.
The real sound here is nothing but excess. Pure, unadulterated, inessential, high-volume excess. And that's just too much. Michael Ditmore.
Wow. It's just too much. I can't handle it. These scary monsters. And there's no love songs. Randy Newman kicks ass.
Okay.
What a weenus. Seriously.
Yeah, Newman.
When he went to Randy Newman, it was game over.
Okay, so Danny.
See, this is back when guys would review albums and make it about themselves rather than really telling. Did he describe really anything about the music other than what offended him about it? Not really.
Not really.
Did he name one guy in the band? I don't think so.
No. Do you remember, I'm sure remember writing the response, but do you remember reading this, like at the breakfast table at your house or anything?
I'm sure, yeah, vaguely. I remember reading it enough to write a letter. I remember writing the letter and sending it off and being shocked that they actually printed it.
Okay, somebody just sent us Michael Ditmore's picture in 1985.
And?
Okay.
And his age.
Okay.
Guess what
have you seen this picture?
I have
no,
not. No.
Gosh, no. I mean, unless they had a photo of him next to his article back then, which I don't know if they did.
Okay.
I would say the guy was in his early 30s when he wrote that in 85. So I would say that he was born in 1952. I'd say he's like Mike Reiner's age now.
I'm going to say he was 35.
Okay, so I just retweeted the picture. As the Abilene Reporter News is celebrating its 150th birthday, or the state's 150th birthday, he is standing on the far right of this photo, looking like John Blake-ish, and he is 28 in this photo.
Oh, my God.
Okay. What year was this, Bob? Does it say? Okay, 1985. Yeah, you're right, you're right. Okay. So he's 28, not far 28. From early 30s, but still, you know,
Wait, which one is he, 11 years
older than me.
Far right, standing, coat open.
Yeah. Wow.
They were older back then, guys.
That dude looks like he loves church.
Well, let's listen to 17-year-old Danny's retort.
Okay, yes, yes. So here is Danny, who read this at the breakfast table and fired off this response. I'm a 17-year-old senior at Knox City High, and I'm writing in response to Michael Ditmore's album review on Iron Maiden's Live After Death. When I first read the review in your November 24th issue, I was very upset. So here are my feelings.
Upset now.
Yes, 2022. So here are my feelings on this review. First of all, Mr. Ditmore, you've got to understand what Iron Maiden is all about. They are far more interested in writing about horror movie material than, quote, gross death subject matter. I guess the stories taken from the Bible and some of their songs are, quote, gross. Why don't you tell that to a Southern Baptist minister? Yeah!
Okay. I mean...
Secondly... Oh, no, I know.
I'm
secondly,
just saying.
Secondly... All of Iron Maiden are very talented musicians. The guitar duo of Adrian Smith and Dave Murray is one of the best in rock. And the bass playing of Steve Harris has been called...
my favorite.
Has been
the
called,
best.
Quote, the best by many rock critics such as yourself.
It's true. He was up there. He always was in the top five of greatest bass players of all time back then. It was like him, John Paul Jones, Geddy Lee, Steve Harris. I mean, they were always up there. He was always up there.
I find it hard to believe this album is, quote, wimpy compared to Bruce Springsteen. There's a far much more complexity to their songs than Bruce's two-chord Born in the USA.
Yes.
Mr. Ditmore, maybe you should have passed up Live After Death and stuck to your Johnny Cash and Sex Pistols albums. As Bruce Dickinson, lead singer for Maiden, said on their Peace of Mind album, don't meddle with things you don't understand. Danny Bayless, Box 775, Knox City, Texas, 79529.
Heck yes.
I'd had enough of him, huh?
Boy, yeah. You had. And you know, I don't blame you.
It was a bad review.
Yes.
I've heard bad reviews. And
they picked the wrong guy to do that.
They did. There's no other guy.
You can't.
That's just him.
Look at the photo.
You're going to get the guy on the far left to review my Iron Maiden?
How about the lady who looks like she's been teaching second grade for 48 years?
It looks like the Supreme Court, doesn't it?
It does.
For what country? This one?
Dude, it's unbelievable. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, that's really made me happy this week, you know?
That was kind of a big deal around high school that day that article came out. I think I even got, I don't know, I got recognition in class by my English teacher or something. I remember that being a
Seriously?
Thing.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You should have.
That's huge news. And you know what? Ditmore was mad at you. I guarantee you were in his kitchen.
You think?
Yes.
We got to find this guy.
You don't think there are letters to the editor made their way around the editorial room and he's trying to figure out why the 17-year-old's trying to show him up? Here's the thing. You can't put in there you've never heard them before if you're going to review them in a newspaper. That's insane.
That this is your first listen to the band.
Here, I'm going to go cover a heavyweight fight tonight, and in the story I'm going to say I've never seen boxing before, but here's my take on what happened.
Or I've never seen this particular fighter before. You've never seen any tape on him at all.
That's incredible. You have zero context.
Rock and roll is the sport. You know, Iron Maiden is the boxer. I guess you can have an opinion, but don't you think you'd want to do a little bit of research?
Yeah, if you're going to write a game story on the Rams-Bengals and you've never seen either of them before, how do you know if they're playing well? How do you know if this is the best this guy has ever looked? I mean, you're really going to review a band, an album of a band that you've literally never heard of before?
He simply saw a scary rock and roll monster on the album cover and immediately thought, wow, I can write an article about this, completely destroy it, and our readership will love it. Because we're defending goodness and wholesome music.
Like, I'd love to see this album cover.
He looks like
it's pretty great, isn't it?
Like the photo that Bob, you retweeted of the entire staff. Like, he looks like he just had a bad pimento cheese sandwich
and he's holding it in.
right. But I like the guy behind him because he kind of looks like the sports guy.
Yeah, he looks like, kind of like he could be Eric Nadell's older brother.
What's the name of the album?
Live After Death.
What about the guy in the middle, though, behind the first grade teacher who looks like a distant relative of Chemical Ali?
Oh, wow. This is a wild album cover.
And then the guy on her left looks like that dude from behind the actor's studio.
He does. James Lipton.
Yes, yeah.
Boy, that's perfect.
Woof.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
You've really made our week, Danny, 17-year-old Danny. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
You know what? This would have been brought up a long time ago on the air if I was able to find that article that my mom saved when it came out in the news.
And look at the guy on the far left, too. He looks like if you put a cowboy hat on him, it's a spitting image of Bo Pilgrim.
Yeah, Bo Pilgrim, or maybe one of the dudes that was escorting Lee Harvey Oswald through the basement.
Yes.